Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarine, Om Ajnanati Mirandasya, Yananjana Salakaya, Chakshurun Miritam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam, Shtapitam Yena Bhutale, Vayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Swapadantikam, Vanchakalpataru Vyasha, Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda, Sri Advaita Gadarhar Shiva Sadikor Bhaktivinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The super subject. How, question, how can we apply proper discrimination and judgment in our search for knowledge of the infinite? Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, discrimination may take place in different planes, but it must have a connection with the higher plane. Judgment and discrimination should be in the right plane. Judgment and discrimination come from our side, but our progress depends on the favor of the higher side. It must have that connection, so surrender is required. Then the Lord will approach us and take us up to that higher plane. Somehow, we have to persuade the highest authority to favor us. We must invite the higher authority to accept us. It does not depend so much on our own ability, but on our submission and surrender, our hankering for mercy, not our positive capacity, but our negative character, our surrender. As a subject, I cannot make the infinite the object of my discrimination. He is always the super subject. I cannot make God the object of my discrimination. He is super subjective. My position, my attitude must invite the higher authority to come down to my level and help me, favor me. Real discrimination or knowledge should take us to self-surrender. Surrender is necessary to attract the attention of the Lord. Everything depends on His sweet will. He is an autocrat. His sweet will is everything. To attract His sweet will, to increase our negative side, our tendency for surrender, to attract His favor, this will be our real problem if we wish to progress in spiritual life. And to attract the Lord's attention, all our qualifications must be of negative character. We shall require surrender, submission, and humility. And then we can press our position by praying. Oh, my Lord, I am in the worst need. Without your grace, I can't stand. I am helpless. I cannot endure without your favor. That sort of hankering, earnestness, and necessity for His mercy will help us. In other words, we are to improve our negative character, and in that way, we shall attract the positive. Krishna. Then we shall develop the proper discrimination. For at that time, our subjective character will be to act only as His agent. He will inspire from within in whatever we do. Our discrimination will be utilized in carrying out His order. It will not be possible for us to have any separate interest, any original discrimination. I will carry out His order, or the order of the higher officer of the Supreme Lord. I may use my discrimination about how to make the lower arrangements and carrying out that order. But towards the Lord, who is higher than me, my attitude will always be one of submission, surrender, obedience, allegiance, unconditional slavery. The slave mentality will help us in entering that plane. Who is that? Someone is making some talking.
It's Barman Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
Chanting the mantra?
No problem. The slave mentality will help us entering that plane. If we truly feel ourselves to be low and in want, then the supply of mercy will come from the higher plane. This should always be the tenor of our thought, high and low, subjective and objective. And Krishna is not subject to any rule. He is an autocrat. These are the data we must keep in our mind always. Everything moves according to his sweet will. Our problem then is how to draw his attention. This will be possible only by increasing our negative tendency, by proving to him in a bona fide way that I am the most needy. At that time, we shall develop proper discrimination and knowledge. That is, our discrimination will be utilized in carrying out his order. Question. In the Upanishad, there is a mantra. Vidyam cha vidam cha yas tad vedo bhyayam saha avidyaya mritam tirtva vidyayam mritam ashrute. And the translation has been given by Sripad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj as follows. Only one who can learn the process of nascence and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. What does he mean by learning the process of nascence and that of knowledge side by side? Srila Sridhar Maharaj. One is negative and another is positive. Knowledge means to know what is false and to leave that, and to recognize what is true and to accept that. Do you follow? To cultivate an understanding about falsehood and truth means to know this is false, we must reject it, and this is truth, I must accept it. In that way, this verse may be understood. To know the bad, to culture the bad, means to know when a thing is bad and to reject it. And to culture the truth means to accept it. Not that culture means we should culture ignorance in order to have it. What is encouraged here in this mantra is rejection of falsehood and acceptance of truth. The defects of Maya should be analyzed. We must know, oh, this is Maya, this is bad, this is hopeless, this is undesirable. We must know to avoid these things. We must reject nescience, and we shall try to attain science or knowledge. We shall try to understand the bright side and aim for the light, to accept it more and more and progress toward truth.
Maharaj?
Yes?
Maharaj, actually, why we call, you know, this negative qualities and positive qualities, like, you know, why sometimes, you know, people in this world, they also call, you know, be positive. So, like, you know, why is this negative and positive? How we can know, Maharaj, which is negative and which is positive? Like they call it this negative.
Maya? How do we know Maya and Krishna? In other words, we accept as Vaishnavas, we accept the truth is Krishna. And then Maya. What is Maya? Maya means not that. Maya. Ya means that. Ma means na or not. Then, ya means that or the truth. It is not the truth, Maya. And the truth for us means Krishna. So Maya means not Krishna. Whatever does not involve Krishna, whatever is not directed toward Krishna, that is Maya. Krishna, whatever is involving Krishna, whatever relates to Krishna, that we know is truth. Whatever does not relate to Krishna, we know that is Maya. Nations, that's all. Understand?
Maras.
Om Sarvasya Prabhupada Matak Sarvam Prabhupada Ikima Vabha Janti Mam Buddha Vabha Samanvita. Krishna tells, I am the source of everything. If we don't see Krishna in that thing, we are in Maya. That is ignorance. Because Krishna is telling in the Gita, I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. If we can't see that, then that is Maya. As soon as we are forgetting Krishna, then we can understand what is our position, what are we seeing. And we have to let that go. And again, turn our mind back to Krishna. And by chanting Hare Krishna. So, question.
That's our JPD ERD, Prabhuji.
A 15th century German Catholic philosopher, Nicholas of Cusa, taught the doctrine of learned ignorance. How would that compare to Vaishnava? By the way, the Dictionary of Philosophy contains the following entry. Nicholas of Cusa, or Nicholas Cusanus, 1400 to 1464, German cardinal, whose theological negativa was influential in the Renaissance. Main philosophical work, Deducta Ignorantia, Learned Ignorance, 1440. Using the methods of medieval logic, Cusanus examined the nature of God, Book 1, and the Universe, Book 2. His view of their relationship was fundamentally Neoplatonic. The universe, maximum contractum, seen as the totality of finite things flows out from and returns to God, maximum absolutum, whose nature is unknowable, hence all human knowledge is simply learned in ignorance. Same thing we were saying. God is unknowable. According to Cusanus, God is unknowable, the infinite. How can we know him? How can we determine anything about him? Therefore, whatever knowledge we have, whatever determination we make, we can understand that is ignorance. It is knowledge of the finite thing, knowledge of what is not true. The true is the infinite. Whatever we have knowledge of is finite. Therefore, it is knowledge of the ignorance. That is Cusanus's philosophy. Whatever you know, that is only of finite things. Then, the truth is infinite, but that can't be known. So then all your knowledge is simply ignorance. So people are cultivating ignorance in the name of knowledge. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, we may accept the bright side. Noble ignorance in our view is Gyan Shunya Bhakti, knowledge-free devotion. Noble ignorance means not to attempt to calculate in this world, but to surrender, to lose our faith in calculation, in our subjective capacity of calculation, and to surrender to the Supreme. Now, if everyone mutes their microphone, then we won't hear so many background noises. So you please mute your microphone until you want to speak, and that will eliminate the background noise, okay? and we may interpret Gyan Shunya Bhakti like that. Gyan Shunya Bhakti means Gyan Shunya. Shunya means without. Gyan means knowledge. Without knowledge and bhakti. Devotion without knowledge. Gyan Shunya Bhakti. That means without knowledge means without all this finite conception of things. So-called knowledge. Just like the scientists have so many theories of evolution or the Big Bang and all those things, it's all ignorance because it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. And they are creating this big theory, so many scientific research programs, big telescopes, things and that, that they are all cultivating a knowledge of ignorance, a knowledge of what is not. It is not like that they are telling. there's another meaning they're completely forgetting. They have completely forgotten the scientist, they have completely forgotten the Atma, and they have completely forgotten the Super Atma, the Paramatma. And what kind of knowledge do they have? That is all cultivation of ignorance. That learned ignorance is when learning understands its own limit. When one realizes I am finite, my learning is also finite. Learning cannot make me a bona fide inquirer about the infinite. It is better to surrender to the infinite and let him work within us for our best interest. Submission, surrender to the infinite is the highest reach of learning. Learned ignorance means to realize that we can't know the infinite. If he makes himself known to us, then we can know him, otherwise not. Question. Nicholas of Cusa said, God is inconceivable by thought. What do you say? Yes. Only through devotion and by his grace may God be known. Our cultivation of knowledge won't give us God. That is the failure of knowledge, investigation about God, the infinite. Only his grace can give him. We have to come to the side of devotion and do away with knowledge. Our attempts to make much of knowledge will be stopped when coming in connection with the infinite. Knowledge has got its limit. Kindly mute your microphones. What was doing? Huh? Can everyone be
Varman Prabhuji
instructed that?
Varman Prabhuji.
That's good. And he has to learn. Our attempt to make much of knowledge has got its limit. And when knowledge fails, faith begins. Knowledge fails and faith develops. You must develop faith and give up hope in knowledge. A research laboratory cannot give you God. When the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin returned from space, an old lady inquired from him, "You went so high. Have you seen God there?" But he was an atheist. He said, "God is like a horse drawing our cart. What do you think about God? What do you think about God for?" We use God in our service. With our knowledge and our research science, we have forced God to serve us. This is the proud boast of science. We have engaged God in our service. We are above God, superior to God. He, God, is our creation. And if he is the creation of a particular half-mad, as if he is the creation of a particular half-mad section of society. Question. Nicholas of Cusa also taught that in God, opposites coincide. Opposites, smallest and greatest, come together in God. What is your understanding? Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Not only big and small, but even good and bad. Even anti-parties, everything is harmonized in God. Good, bad, friend, enemy, everything is harmonized and accommodated there. And they lose their poison, all become good. He is the all-accommodating, all-harmonizing, all-adjusting principle, both directly and indirectly. Thesis and antithesis find their highest synthesis in the Krishna conception of divinity. Any questions on that chapter before we begin the next? So there's Nicholas of Cusa. Many persons have not heard of him, but he seems to have been a very good philosopher. He had many common points in the theological conception. I have found in his writing, his conception also. So page 120 now, science versus nescience. Ni-science or nescience. Ni-science means not science. Science means knowledge. And ni-science or nescience means not science. The opposite of science, nescience. The cultivation of ignorance and the cultivation of knowledge. Science means the cultivation of knowledge. Anishinaabeg means the cultivation of ignorance. What is going on today in the name of science is actually nescience. Today, the scientists are actually engaged in nescience. Real science is found in the Veda, Vedanta. So, student, I have finished my studies, and now I'm taking a break, a vacation. Alright, Sadhan. Sadhan wants to join again. You tell him to please mute his microphone. I have finished my studies and now I'm taking a vacation. Solicitor Marks, please don't take offense, but that you are involved in the present system of education means that you are diving deeply in the ocean of ignorance. You are making progress in the ocean of ignorance. Student, what do you mean by that? Solicitor Marks, as a student of nescience, you are moving in the opposite direction from truth. You are being taught that you and other souls of your type are the subjects, the center of the universe, and everything, all else, is an object meant only for your exploitation. We are being taught that we are exploiters and that the entire environment is for our exploitation. That is the foundation upon which the present system of education is based, a conception which is completely false. In reality, we are not the subject, the center of the universe. The cause is in the higher world. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, simply by his will. Everything is brought into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be water, and there was water. Let there be earth, and there was earth. His will is all powerful. To know this is real education, subjective learning. What we experience sprang up from the divine will. Just as if he were a magician, he can show one thing to you and something entirely different to me. The super subject, the universal subject, has such power. So our idea is completely the opposite of the fossilist. It is not that from time eternal the fossil is developing into this world of experience. It is just the opposite. Therefore, by conceiving of this world on the basis of fossilism, we are diving deep into the intense ocean of ignorance. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj asked a few of his disciples, who were research scholars, to crush the fossilism of Darwin, that is, the idea that everything is coming from fossils. This idea must be demolished. It is not so. Everything is coming from above. What we experience at present is like the outcome of hypnosis. In the process of hypnosis, the hypnotist can make us withdraw our consciousness from anything at any moment and show us another way to view reality. In the same way, Godhead is free, and whatever he wills becomes reality. Whatever he imagines becomes reality, such as sankalpa. He can force us to see something, and when he does so, we cannot see it in any other way. If you can understand this principle, you can understand how everything is possible within divinity. Then you can have some faith in what is Godhead. Godhead means this, the origin of creation. And yet, this creation is only an insignificant part of his divine nature. He has infinite qualities and activities, and this world in which we live is only a negligible part of the cosmic manifestation. The whole basis of everything is there in him. It comes up from up to down, and not from down to up. To the idea that everything is developing from downward to up, we must say no. The fossil is not a thing perfect or sufficient enough to create all of this. To say that from a fossil intelligence is coming is a fool's conception. Of course, Guru Maharaj is, Chita Maharaj is using fossil in the sense of a stone. Fossil is actually a stone. The bone has been replaced by stone, called fossil. And the bone becomes reified, or like a stone. then from the stone, somehow or other, all of the evolutionists say, all the rest is coming. From the material, the spiritual is coming. No, we don't accept that point of view. Then down to up, we don't accept that point of view. Our point of view is from up to down. From the higher comes the lower. Not that from the lower the higher will come. So intelligence can be traced everywhere. As much as we analyze, we find higher reason, higher intelligence. Scientists are astonished to find intelligence that is within nature. They continue to discover higher and higher laws. And yet all those laws already existed. It is just that these fools had no awareness of it. But an extremely fine degree of order existed long before their discovery. The wonderful laws of nature existed long before their invention. And this is evident everywhere. The physical laws of nature do not exist by dint of their creation. Do the scientists create the laws of nature? They may invent so many things, but the intelligence within nature already exists, and there is something more. Power exists everywhere. Where has it come from? The scientists, intelligence to discover or invent a thing, where has it come from? Is it coming from the brain? Is it coming from the brain, or is it merely a portion of dead flesh? Does intelligence come from somewhere else? Consciousness, spirit, is all-pervading. It is present even in the trees, stones, earth, ether, air, everywhere. And to know the truth, we must connect with the conscious principle of the infinite. What is the infinite? He is almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, all-sympathetic, all-loving. Our real aspiration must be to have a direct connection with him, leaving aside the charm of his created substance. Want to negotiate how we can have a connection with the Creator Himself.
Maharaj? Maharaj, Siddhar Maharaj is telling that, you know, in the trees, stones, earth, ether, air, everywhere, you know, the consciousness is present. So then, you know, how one can, you know, what you can say, know it or, you know, understand it?
Like this. Already we told Krishna is the origin of everything. Janma dasyatan vayari tartas chateshu abhigyasvarat. Bhagavatam, first shloka of the Bhagavatam says that. Janmadasvitan Vayaditaratashtrateshva Vigyasvarat. That the source of the whole creation. Know that the source of the whole creation is the Abhigyasvarat, the supreme, independent conscious being. One knows everything. The conscious source of everything is Krishna. Whatever is in connection with Krishna, that is truth, and whatever is not in connection with him, that is Maya. And everything that is being created is coming from consciousness. And how can consciousness not be there? Consciousness is there in everything because it comes from consciousness. Consciousness is the fundamental ground of all reality. We discussed that in many ways, even from the point of view of our own perspective. Nothing that we can talk of is separate from our consciousness of it. And in order to talk of something, it must be in our consciousness. And consciousness is there. And whatever we talk about, mind, whatever you want to call it, mind is there. Everything is in the mind. Everything is in the consciousness. So the consciousness is the float, is the medium upon which everything is floating. And what Maharaj, can be separate from it? Nothing. Nothing is separate from consciousness. Whatever we think is separate from consciousness, that has no consciousness, that is Maya. That is the untruth. It is a failure to understand what is what.
Maharaj, once you told, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that matter is the symbol of undeveloped consciousness. That means, yes. Maharaj, you know, this gross existence, that, you know, that is actually the consciousness, this gross matter, actually consciousness is not yet developed in matter or, you know, subtle matter also.
Your consciousness is not developed.
Okay, Maharaj.
No, I understand. It's not developed. Therefore, you are seeing matter. When your consciousness is developed, you will see everything as consciousness. This requires, this is knowledge. And one must learn these things, this kind of knowledge. Consciousness is the foundation. Therefore, what can be out from them? What can be other than consciousness? Nothing. As much as you understand that, you have learned the truth. You have become Krishna conscious. Not your consciousness, but Krishna's consciousness is there. Both are there. Underlying and substantiating everything. That kind of cultivation of that kind of knowledge, that is truth. And the whole modern world does not know these things. Modern materialistic civilization can only see non-conscious things, not material things, unconscious. No connection with Krishna. They can't trace the connection to their own consciousness. They can't trace the connection to Krishna. Or to speak of Krishna, they cannot trace the connection to their own consciousness even. Then we have written science and scientists. Science without the scientist is nescience. I are unable to trace that science to the scientist, consciousness of the scientist, and that is ignorance. We consider that actually ignorance. Nescience. What they are calling science is actually nescience. Ni science, not science. Until they can trace science to the scientist, then they can only have nonsense. Trace that whatever there is to consciousness, and then from consciousness to the super consciousness, that is knowledge. So we should want to negotiate how we can have a connection with the Creator himself, means that we can have a connection with consciousness, the conscious plane. Because the Creator is himself a conscious being. The reality is conscious of itself. Truth aware of itself, how Hegel defined the absolute. The truth is self-aware, is aware of itself as truth. That is Krishna. Don't think that the truth is only for you, and you are the conscious of the truth, and the only consciousness there is you. No. And because you are conscious, then the truth must be conscious. Otherwise, how have you gotten consciousness? From where did your consciousness come? It's not that you can be conscious of the truth, and the truth is unconscious. No. You are conscious, and the truth is unconscious. That is false. That cannot be. That is impossible. How you have gotten consciousness and the truth does not have it. You are coming from the truth. You are part of truth. Then you have consciousness. The truth must be consciousness. Like that. So, the Creator. And his position is not simply that of a creator. This world is a creation of lower order. But a higher creation also exists in a plane of reality, which is infinitely higher than this world of experience. We should inquire whether it is possible for us to have, whether it is possible for us to have a life in that soil. We should try to understand what are the layers of reality in that realm of consciousness and how we can go higher and higher in that thing. We should inquire about that and find out how we can enter there. We must try to understand what is the key to the entrance into that transcendental abode. This should be the basis of our search for truth. We should inquire into how to become free from both the plane of renunciation and the plane of exploitation. So once Krishna went to the court of the Kauravas and the camp of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra with talk of peace. At that time, Karna, Duryodhana, and others in the party attempted to bind him down and put him into prison. They thought that if Krishna were to be imprisoned, then the whole Pandava camp would automatically be finished. They knew that Krishna was the life and soul, as well as advisor of their enemies, the Pandavas. They thought, now we have Krishna in our fist. We must immediately imprison him. They went to tie him down. But Krishna manifested his universal form. At that time, he revealed his divine nature in such a way that the men who went to tie him down were perplexed, they thought. What is he? When Krishna manifested his universal form of thousands of heads, hands, and legs, they thought, this is a gigantic thing. Here in this form, we find Baladev on one side, Arjuna on another, and Bhrigu on another. Where are we to apply the rope? We can't. They were perplexed. At that time, when Krishna showed his universal form in the assembly of gurus at Hastinapur, those who were present began to chant in praise of Krishna. Bhishma, Drona, Narada, and Vyasa were present at that time in the assembly, and they began to praise the Lord. Hearing their voices, the blind King Dhritarashtra was charmed and prayed to Krishna. I can't see you. I am blind. But I hear these great persons chanting your praises upon seeing your wonderful form. You can do anything and everything. So for the time being, please remove my blindness. Let me see your figure and color. Let me behold the beauty which they are praising so much. After removing my blindness, you may again make me blind. Krishna replied, it is not necessary for your blindness to be removed. I need only the man that you see me, and you will be able to see me. This is the very nature of seeing him. Our vision of Godhead depends on his will. It is not the eye that can see him, nor the ear that can hear him. He is above the sense experience. Only by his will may he be seen. He said, you will see me. And Dhritarashtra saw him. Although he was blind, still he could see Krishna's divine form. Then what is Krishna? If a deaf man can hear him, and a blind man can see him, then what is the nature of that divine substance, which is Krishna? Another time, when Arjuna wanted to see the universal form of Krishna, the Vishwarupa, Krishna said, yes, Arjuna, see me. Arjuna beheld his universal form. Krishna asked him, what do you see? And Arjuna replied, I am seeing so many wonderful divine manifestations. It is a wonder of wonders. So Krishna's sweet will is the basis of everything. We are living in correlation with that absolute power. There is no stability to the environment where we live at present. All importance is on the divine will of Godhead. He is the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karana. From him, this world emanates, and by him it is maintained. The plane of dedication, however, is far higher than the mundane realm. And we are told that by dedication, by surrender, we can have a direct connection with the center of everything that be. So our advice to the scientists is this. Physician, cure thyself. You have come to give so many dazzling models of civilization to the world. But first you should cure yourself fully. What you have come to distribute is all a hoax. The laws of nature, abided by everything that surrounds us, is only the sweet will of the Supreme. The laws of nature are not a rigid thing. Their basis is the sweet will of an autocrat. So what you know, that is nothing. It is no knowledge. At any moment, the laws of nature may be changed by the sweet will of the Supreme Autocrat, and another set of rules may completely replace them. The key to enact the change in our ability to experience reality is in his hands. He may easily say, O Arjuna, you see this, but I am that. And Arjuna will say, yes, now I see that you are that. Everything may be seen in one way by his will, and at the next moment that vision of reality may be withdrawn by him, so the knowledge we can acquire through materialistic education has no value at all. With this realization, we should enthusiastically begin the search for Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. Krishna can charm himself. He is the all-charming absolute. Our innate need is to find sweetness, beauty, rasa, anandam, ecstasy, happiness. Everyone wants this. No one can say, I do not want happiness. No one from the lowest atheist to the highest theist can deny this. All will say, I want ecstasy. I want sweetness, happiness, peace. This is the common demand in every conceiving unit, from the worst atheist to the greatest theist. Whether there is conception, wherever there is conception, everyone wants peaceful existence. So our direct necessity is with him, Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. He is Raso Vyasaha, ecstasy, beauty himself. We must begin our search for that. Do not lose a moment. Don't waste a minute of your time in wild goose chasing. Give up everything. Sarvadharmam Padityaja. Leave it behind. Give up all phases of duty that you are so busily engaged in. It is all worthless. Begin the search for that divine principle who is the creator, the master of everything, and the fulfillment of everything. Search for him directly. Give up all your so-called obligations and duties in your relative position. They are misconceived, misunderstood from your present defective position. Do not rely on them. Make a direct search for the prime cause from which everything is coming as a miracle. He is the fulfillment of our lives. He is the fulfillment of every atomic existence in the whole world, in all the worlds. Shri is very merciful, calling us to the higher plane. I think we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions. What happened to Purushottam? We never got him back again. Came online again, huh?
No, Raj, he didn't come online.
Maharaj?
Yes, bro. Rajagopal.
Maharaj,
yes.
I have one doubt, Maharaj.
Yes, bro.
Maharaj, every devotee goal is to go to Golok. Every devotee aims for Golok.
Does every devotee
When I go to Vijayawada, one devotee Golok. One devotee asked me a question that he had read in Chaitanya Bhagavad that Haridas Thakur says that whenever a person hears chanting from a pure devotee, he will directly go to Golok. So he is asking why to do chanting, and puja, etc. It is just to only hear the chanting from pure devotee, it is enough, he is asking.
It's correct.
It is correct, yeah. Only Prabhu Maharaj.
It's correct that if we can hear, but it means that to hear is not just simply to, that a word, that the sound comes in our head. Comes in our ear. Hearing does not mean that a sound comes into our head. That is not the end. That is not hearing. Anything may come into your head. And the sound, even of a pure devotee, may come into your head. It does not mean that you have heard properly. Jesus, you know, you heard Jesus Christ, a Christian founder, a founder of Christianity, Jesus. He once made a teaching that if you take some good seed in a bag, some good seed, and you spread that seed on the ground, because it's a good seed, it will produce a good crop, right? But if you spread that on the ground where there are so many rocks, then because the rocks are there in the ground, the seeds won't grow properly. If you throw it on the good soil, if the seed goes on the good soil, then the seed will grow nicely and produce a good crop because it's good soil. But if you throw it on the rocky soil, then the seed won't grow very nicely. No matter how much good seed there is, because the soil is not prepared properly, it won't grow nicely. So like that, to hear from the pure devotee, that is the good seed, the bijam. The good seed is coming from the pure heart of the devotee. Then when he pronounces the name of Krishna, then that name has much potency because he has realization of what is the name Krishna. They're not simply repeating the name like some parrot. Oh, I have heard Krishna, I'm saying Krishna. Whoever he has heard Krishna from, that conception which he has will be the potency of that name. The name's potency comes from the conception within the heart of the devotee who has realized Krishna. When he says Krishna, that will have some maximum potency. But who has not realized Krishna or has some merely like repeating like a parrot, that may not have as much potency. So the seed will be depending upon the conception, the realization of the devotee, and the realization of the devotee will be dependent upon the amount of surrender and dedication he has given of himself to his Lord and to his Gurudev. And so like that, the seed may be potent, but if the hearer, if the person hearing or receiving that seed has not prepared the ground of his heart properly.
Okay, Maharaj.
If there are still stones in your heart, then even the good seed won't have as much benefit as the person with a pure heart who has fertilized. So this sadhana, our puja, our prayers, vandanam, all these things are service to the devotees. These parts of the sadhana are necessary to cultivate the soil of our heart.
Okay, Maharaj.
By cultivating properly our heart, that is called sadhana, a real sadhana. Sadhana, again, must be cultivated under the guidance of a pure devotee. We want a devotee always in our life because we don't know what to do. So sadhana means under the guidance, under the watchful eye of a devotee. Then whatever word comes to us from the lips of the pure devotee, that will have maximum benefit because the word is there, the pure word is there, and the pure heart is there, both the receiver and who is giving and who is receiving. They are both of a higher nature, and then the result will come, the good fruit. Bhakti Lata will grow, and then the fruit of love of God, Krishna praying, will fructify from that fruit, from that creeper. The creeper, Bhakti Lata. The Bhakti Lata, Bija, the seed of devotional creeper. Bhakti Lata Bija means the seed of the devotional creeper. That must be planted by the lips of the pure devotee, the heart of the pure devotee. Must implant that within our heart. But our heart we must also cultivate, that there are no weeds, there is no rocky soil, and that we cultivate through our sadhana, sincere engagement in the service of Guru. Mm. When that is cultivated and the seed is of good quality, then the Bhakti Lata Beach will grow into the Bhakti Lata, and the Bhakti Lata will produce the phalam, the fruit of Krishna Prem. And we will enter in that way the plane of Goloka Vrindavan.
Okay, Maharaj.
Understand?
Understood, Maharaj. Thanks, Maharaj.
Yes. Then, other question?
One devotee was asking that if evil, that evil is present in the part and parcel of the Lord, like in many people, then is it also present in the Lord? Like Lord is free from all evil, then how it comes in the part and parcel of the living entities?
How does evil come? How do you ask?
Yes, Maharaj.
How does evil come in us? Because we are finite. Because we are finite, we can forget Krishna. Evil means to forget Krishna, to forget that Krishna is the foundation of everything, that Krishna is the center of everything. That is called evil. Evil means to forget that Krishna is the center and to think I am the center of everything, that I call evil. Whoever acts within that framework, within that perspective of life, that I am the center, and that Krishna, and I forget that Krishna is the center, then he can only create evil in his life. Some bad reaction must come. Some reaction must come, not even bad, any reaction, even good reaction, bad reaction, whatever. Some reactionary existence will be created for oneself. Means whatever you do, good or bad, you'll have to suffer some reaction from that. Why? Because you are considering yourself to be the center. That this is the root of all evil. The I, my ego, the root of all ego, all evil. No, we have to give up. Yes, I am. I am the center. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. Krishna is the center. And whatever I do, I am the servant of the center. I am the servant of Krishna. And all my activities, everything, all enjoyment is meant for him, for his purpose, for his satisfaction, not for me. And we develop that mentality by serving under the direction of Gurudev. Once we have accepted Guru in our life, then whatever we do, we offer all honor, all respect, all glory to Guru. And I take nothing for myself. And in that way we practice. In this world, even in this world, we can practice under the guidance of Gurudev. We give everything. Devotees who live in the presence of Guru, they are doing everything for his satisfaction. And in that way, practice, the sadhana practice is there. How to give up my ego, how to give up my self-satisfying tendencies, my exploitive tendencies. I have to learn under the watchful guidance of Gurudev. And finally, when we become free from all of these things within our own heart, and then we can come to the transcendental platform and see everything in a new light, in a new way. Sarvadharmam parityaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham sarvasya. Aham sarvasya prabhava, matak sarvam parityaja. Everything will become free from all of this sinful, evil acting. Plane of Krishna consciousness, where we are in the serving world. We enter the serving world and get relief from this exploiting world. Exploiting world means where I am the Lord of all I survey. Serving world means I am the servant of the Lord. Make that transition. I am the servant. My only conception of I is as of servant. I am serving, there is some higher will coming to me, and I am following that. That is my only position. And I can't act without the sanction from above. The sanction from Gurudev, the sanction from Krishna must be there. Then I act, otherwise not. I don't act of my own accord. And the spiritual life is a real thing. It is a genuine thing, a concrete thing. It is not just a phantasmagoria. We are presenting something that is antithesis of the modern civilization. Certainly people will have difficulty accepting that. They may have difficulty. But we are not interested. A genuine devotee is not interested in following the course of the world. He wants to follow the course of the Mahajans and the great souls. And he is willing to sacrifice this whole material civilization to come to the real conception of life, the real conception of truth and of reality. And therefore he gets moksha, liberation from all this nescience, cultivation of nescience. Alright. Any other question?
Maharaj, I have one question, another question, Maharaj. Maharaj, after doing good sadhana, our soul will become purity. Is there what are the other higher stages of other than purity, Maharaj?
Love.
Higher than purity.
Purity means love. We will develop our love for Krishna when the heart is free from all other desires. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma adhinavitam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruchate. When the heart becomes pure, it means anya bilashita shunyam. All desires have been made reduced to zero. All selfish desires have been reduced to zero. Jnana karma adhinavitam. No more searching after knowledge. No more searching after any fruits of our activities. We no longer engage in any fruitive activities. We no longer engage in any cultivation of nations. And the heart is very, at that time, the heart is pure. Then what happens? Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam. One begins then the favorable service, favorable cultivation. Cultivation of the pleasing the Lord, of satisfying the Lord, of bringing joy to the Lord's heart. At that time, then this process of satisfying Krishna, that is called love. Bhakti Uttama, that is the highest form of love, who is always thinking how I can make Krishna happy. What will please him? How I can please him? That's only possible once we get free, once the heart is pure, once the heart is free from all this jnana and karma. Get rid of the jnana and karma. Then you have your mind becomes peaceful and can meditate always on how I can make a favorable impression upon my Lord, how I can serve my Lord in a favorable way so that he becomes satisfied.
Okay, Maharaj.
Bhakti Uttama. Highest plane of devotion will be achieved in that way. And then gradually, even in that stage, there are higher and higher stages. Some are pleasing Krishna as friends, some as parents, some as lovers. And even in the lover stage, there are different stages of development of love. From the married women to the Parakya Ras, we know there are different stages. And to the highest stage of Rupa Goswami, Arupa Manjari, to enter into that camp would be the highest stage of love. Most pure stage of the Rupa Manjaris. Under the guidance of Rupa Manjari, if we can learn how to serve Krishna, that will be the highest stage of love.
Okay.
So much more beyond purity, there is so much more. Purity is the first stage to enter into the higher world. And then in that higher world, there is more and more and more stages of development. Okay. Then
thanks, Maharaj.
Yes, I think we'll stop. My humble Dandava Pranams.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, thanks, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
जय श्रीपाद भक्ति माधवपुरी महाराज की जय
महाराज की जय
दंडवत प्रणाम महाराज दंडवत प्रणाम
महाराज दंडवत प्रणाम
हरे कृष्ण महाराज दंडवत प्रणाम महाराज
धन्यवाद प्रभु थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर कमिंग धन्यवाद प्रणाम साधन प्रभु
Actually, Maharaj, I am very sorry, Maharaj.
Oh, we went away.
Actually, I don't use this.
Okay, Prabhuji, I'll put the call. Hare Krishna.